House and Senate negotiators have failed to agree so far on a new national energy policy. This is the plan that President Bush promised during his campaign and that Vice President Cheney was accused of drafting according to the wishes of big energy companies. Lawmakers used last summer's big blackout to promote this plan, but the energy bill has now stalled in Congress, in part because nobody can agree how to remake the electric power grid. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
If you ever get a chance to look at a map of the country's electricity grid, you may notice how it resembles one of those drawings of the human body, with all the veins and arteries showing, thousands of red lines heading off in different directions. Actually, the body's circulatory system is arranged a lot more logically than the power grid. The grid expanded like a bamboo patch, whose only organizing principle was growth. And that, according to many in the electricity business, is the grid's big problem, and one of the reasons so many lights went out on August 14th.
Each one of those institutions looks at their little piece of the grid in its own parochial way.
Eugene Peters is with the Electric Power Supply Association. Those are power companies that sell electricity around the country, not just to local customers.
Until you have an institution or organization that allows all of the respective interests to be represented and balanced, you're never going to come up with the most effective remedies to deal with the kind of cascading problems that can happen.
That's the view of one group of power suppliers anyway, but there are so many points of view. Once a collection of local monopolies, the electric power industry is more like a Moroccan bazaar now. There are private utilities, public utilities, nonprofits, and for-profits. Some build interstate transmission lines, some serve only local customers, some sell power to the highest bidder. And therein lies the rub. As one Senate staff member explained, overhauling the grid is not just a political issue, it's a regional tug of war. Power companies in the Midwest and Northeast generally want a financially neutral third party to police the transmission grid. But in the Northwest and Southeast, there are fewer companies and power is relatively cheap. They're happier with their own local utility commissions. The EPSA's Eugene Peters says the grid will not work well with big holdouts like that.
Imagine an analogy to an interstate highway system. You cannot have the Pennsylvania Turnpike and leave a 12-mile stretch in the middle to somebody else.
Another sticking point is a last-minute addition that requires something called participant funding. It would require anyone who brings new power into a region to pay for new transmission lines to carry that power. Glenn English of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association says that may sound reasonable, especially to a big utility with money to pay for more transmission lines. But let's say a new factory moves into a rural community served by a small power cooperative, one without much extra cash.
What would happen under those conditions is that that small cooperative would have to pay the cost of any improvements that are made to the transmission system. And so from that standpoint, that's where this becomes a real deterrent on economic development in rural areas.
So far, only Republicans in Congress have been drafting the bill's final language. Once Democrats are allowed to get involved, there will be yet more disputes. One big one is the future of the Public Utility Holding Company Act. The act prohibits rich investment companies from owning utilities or parts of the grid because they are deemed vital to the public good. Language in the new bill would repeal that act, something that consumer groups and their allies in Congress plan to fight. That chapter of the energy saga will now be fall reading. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.